This is one of the rare occasions I'll have to introduce my brother-in-law. His name is Pastor Tony Zeman. He is the field assistant of the North American Division Asian Pacific Ministries. For the short time that I know him, that's a short 40 years, I have known him as a very prayerful man. For every activity in a day, he'll pray with you. So be prepared if you're going with him. You're going to pause for a while. And the other thing that he's known in the North American division is he's been known as the minister of the poor. He always serves or caters to the needs of the needy. So that's what he's known in the North American division. Pastor Zeman, thank you very much for coming to our church. And we're sure to have much blessings from your word.
Can you hear me? Thank you, my beloved brother-in-law, for that kind introduction. And by the way, I purposely came here not only to preach, but to see the family. I'd like to introduce my wife in the piano. She is the sister of Mrs. Arante. Stand up, please. Heidi Arante. Heidi Arante and my wife are two grandchildren. Listen carefully. Of the first Seventh-day Adventist minister in the Philippines in the 1800. I'm always proud to introduce them, and I don't know if you know about Heidi. She comes from the Levi family. And I hope and pray that she will continue to be a blessing to each and every one of you. And her husband, I believe, is a very consecrated, not only a doctor, but in the church. I respect him. I love him. And I think she's my best friend. Because I always tell people, especially relatives, this guy here never lied to me. She is. Is always honest with me, especially if I call her. I call him, you know. Anywhere I am in North American division, if I feel uneasy, sometimes I'm not feeling well, I have to call him. Even though I have doctors around, you know, because I believe in him, you know. And at this moment, before I start, I want to dedicate, this is our theme song with my wife. I want to sing it, and as I sing it, I want you to meditate in the love of Jesus. A garden where Jesus is waiting. There's a choir that is wondrously there, and I'll meet him on the day with his presence to that beautiful garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden, the garden of prayer. Oh, the beautiful garden of prayer. There my Savior awaits. I see you open the gate to that beautiful garden of prayer. Precious Redeemer, my brother and friend, dearer to me is my Savior. Only in Him will I be all my all. I'm a longing their Savior for thee. Longing their Savior, I'm longing for thee. Hasten God's message for you and for me. Longing to be Savior with me. Longing, I'm longing for Jesus. Longing, I'm longing for a Jesus. God bless you. You heard that I was always introduced in the North American division everywhere we go. I just love to be introduced as a pastor of the poor. Because you know why? I was just a small boy when my dad passed away or killed during World War II. He was an officer of the U.S. Army. He's a veteran. That's why you can always see my insignia there. Because I want to carry my dad everywhere I go. Unfortunately, it's emotional. When he was killed, we didn't even know until now where he was buried. With other soldiers during the Japanese War. And I'm going to tell you that I prayed to God. Because after the war, we were so poor and we didn't even know where to get the next meal that we have during those days. And I vowed to the Lord, Lord, if you open the way and you're going to bless me, then I am going to serve the poor and the needy. Amen. And I'm humbled to tell you, I founded a foundation 32 years ago with a 501c3 from the federal government. And we serve the poor from 9 to 6 every day in Orlando. And I want to tell you that I can sleep well in the evening because I know that I'm serving the Lord in Matthew 24. Because if I do it to the poor, I have done it to Jesus. Amen. And today is a very special day. I want to tell you, I told Elder Marcos that it's going to be a special day for your church because I really designed it that I'm going to give you, or rather call a challenge for the church at the end of my sermon to be a place where baptism is going to be seen, if possible, every month. This is the program that we have in the East Coast. And I'm humbled to tell you that there's a lot of baptisms. A lot of baptisms. But before I do that, let me just go through our scripture reading. What do you think if the Lord should be here and say, "Brother, occupy till I come"? What do you think? Are you occupying yourselves or your time in getting involved with Jesus coming? I was very fortunate to attend one of the big seminars of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Crusade that was in the mid-80s in Las Vegas. We were three Seventh-day Adventists. This was an international convention. It was held in the convention center of Las Vegas. Thousands of people were there. Even the Catholics were represented over there. And the headline of that convention was, "Occupy till I come." And there were a lot of testimonies, a lot of emphasis. But the one that touched my heart, I want you to listen to this, is when an elderly African-American stood up and said, "Reverend Billy, I'm not a pastor. I'm not an officer of the church. But if you permit me to give my testimony how I occupy my time, because the headline of your convention is, 'Occupy till I come.'" And Reverend Billy said, "Go ahead, brother." And what did you do? He said, "I'm just a mere member of the church. I'm not even an officer. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. But I belong to a big church of more than 1,000 membership. And there's always a problem." And what is this problem? There was always judgmental and gossip. And that's the reason why I started to talk to my friends. These are the people that I know that are always gossiping and judgmentally accusing people left and right. "And this is how I occupy myself, Reverend Billy." And there was a big applause. Because you know what? Let me tell this to you. That a church is being blessed by the Lord if there is unity. Amen? The church is going to be uplifted and will be a soul-winning church if every member of the church is going to love Jesus. Amen? But let's go to the basic. Let's go to the basic. Who demonstrated soul-winning? Who demonstrated it? Is it the disciples? No. Who then? It is Jesus Christ himself. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. You know what has happened? Jesus went to John the Baptist in Jordan River. He was baptized there. And after baptism, he went to the mountains, or rather to the wilderness, to commune with his Father. Because this was the beginning of his opening salvo in preaching the message to the world. And when he came from the mountain, as we know, I don't need to elaborate that, he was tempted, right? Tempted by the devil. "But it is written," he said, "you should not tempt the Lord your God." So he went down, and what was his first message? It's found in Mark chapter 1. What he said? "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel." He was the one who started the preaching and sharing. And that was the time, those years, that he invited his disciples one after one. And that's the reason why I always use him as an example, because there is no other one who started the message giving except Jesus Christ himself. Jack Keane, a four-star general, you heard about him, General Jack Keane. He was interviewed by an anchor lady, and it was the question, "General, what should we do to minimize atrocities or to minimize this killing? What should we do?" And you know what Jack Keane, General Jack Keane said? They were expecting that he was saying that, "Oh, I have to mobilize the military service," but no, you know what he said? Make a guess. "If only the Christian churches should be united to share the good tidings to the people around them, it will minimize killings. It will minimize atrocities. It will minimize negative things that's going around." He did not say, "Oh, we have a lot of soldiers. We have a lot of airplanes." No, he did not say that. But he was giving the challenge to the church. Imagine, this is a general now. And I mind you, my beloved, I was just so happy to hear when he was interviewed. It was replayed, by the way. And that is the reason why Jesus Christ commissioned each and every one of us when he said this gospel of the kingdom, what? Shall be preached to all around the world, and then the end shall come. What? That is the last sign that we know that Jesus is coming soon if the gospel is going to be preached unto around the world. Is your church preaching the message? That's the thing that I would like to emphasize. We have been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to share the good tidings of our faith in others. Let me relate to you a very touching story that happened only, I think, about 2 weeks ago. We were waiting with my wife, sitting, you know, at the airport in Orlando. We are on our way to the West Coast. And my wife placed a hand carry in one of the chairs there beside me. And I saw a man looking for a place to sit. And because I felt that I should give him a chance to sit, so I removed that hand carry and I said, "Sir, sit here." And you know what he said? "You are so kind, sir. You must be a Christian." Imagine, he said that, "You must be a Christian." And I said, "Praise the Lord, I am, sir. How about you?" I said, "I just gave my heart to Jesus." This man is not an ordinary man. He is a Grammy Award filmmaker. You heard about his name, Lee Stanley. He's a millionaire. And you know what he said to me? "I gave my heart to Jesus. I found Jesus when I was shooting what we call the gang movie at the prison cells. And I saw those preachers and chaplains talking to these notorious young people, and I sat and I was listening to them. And one of them said, 'Well, are you interested to have a Bible study? I can help you.' And that was the start of my knowing about Jesus. He wrote a book, How Can Jesus, or rather the Lord, Also Penetrate in Hollywood?" You know, the Hollywood people, they don't care. They don't like about religion. But his book, which he gave us with my wife, is really not an ordinary book, because everything is there, and especially his life as a filmmaker, because he is a rich man. And you know what he said to me? I had 3 wives. But now I only have one. I want you to listen to this, to what he said. And this one that I have, by God's help, I'm going to keep her until I die. And I say amen to that. And you know what he said to me? Is it okay, Pastor, because I already introduced myself as a pastor to him. Is it okay, Pastor, to argue with your wife? It's okay to argue, but not to quarrel. This is what I said. This is what I told him. You may argue, especially with principles, but do not quarrel. Because if you quarrel, everything is going to be in topsy-turvy. And that was really a test by counselors like us. Quarreling is arguing is normal, but quarreling is a no-no. Amen? And this is what he was asking me about. And after a conversation about 30 or 40 minutes, we hold hands together and we prayed. We prayed to ask guidance from the Lord. And I like to tell you that man, before we separated, he said, I seldom give my cellular number to anybody. But he gave it to me and to my wife. And please do call me when you go back to Florida, because I want to continue our conversation. And I said, amen to that. Brothers and sisters, we are living in what we call the darkest world of this world history. The darkest moment of this world history. And it's not by bullets. It's not by bombs or airlines or airplanes, I should say. But it is going to be a fight of principles, especially principles regarding Jesus coming, who is very soon. The Bible says, commit yourself unto the Lord. I mentioned that a while ago during the ordination. Commit thy ways or yourself unto the Lord. Trust only in Him, and everything is going to come to pass. In other words, if we dedicate our lives to the Lord, He is always there in times of need. And that is the reason why he also commissioned Paul. He did not only commission everyone, but there was a special commission to Paul. And if you read Romans 1:16, when Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? Of Christ. Because it is the power of God to salvation to those who believe. My question to you is this. Are we believers? If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have the power. So we should not be afraid, because we have the power. You know, today, the politicians are really fighting for power. But for us in the church, we don't need to fight to get power, to gain power. Just submit your life and your heart to the Lord. And that is the reason why Peter, in his writings in 1 Peter 4:10, it's of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others. And what does Mrs. White says in the Gospel Workers? What we need today are men and women who are consecrated to bring the message to this darkened world. And you may tell me, because I have met some members of the church, but I don't know how to give Bible studies. That's not my talent. But I like to tell you that you don't need to give a Bible study. I'm going to elaborate on that at the end of my sermon later on. But let me tell you that even you, as a member, even just sitting in the pew, people will see Jesus in you. It's going to be reflect because of your character and because of your demeanor. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has commissioned each and every one of us. And there is a question that I would like to really challenge each and every one of us. Do we fully trust the Lord who commissioned us? First. Second, are we prepared and ready to meet the challenge of the world? Number three, do we fully realize the urgency of people around us who really need a Savior? And number four is, are we ourselves, by God's grace, ready to meet Him anytime He comes? These are the four things that I am giving you as a challenge, in first of all, to myself, okay? Now, Elder Dwight L. Moody, I always remember him. He is one of the most consecrated lay preachers. He's not an ordained man like me. He is a lay preacher. And he pledged allegiance to Jesus that in every opportunity he wants to tell people about Jesus. Unfortunately, he got sick. He was confined in the hospital, according to the story, for about a week. And the nurse found out or noticed that he is not happy in staying there because he keeps on saying, "Oh, how I wish I would get out of this hospital because I have a work to do." And the nurse told him, "Sir, but you have to recuperate. You have to get well before you continue on to do your work." And he said, "You don't understand," he said to the nurse, "my work is not by my hand, but from my heart and opening my mouth, because this is about Jesus." And you know what he did? Because he was uneasy lying down there, he went out to the window and looked down. He didn't see anybody there except the security guard in the security sentinel place. And he shouted, "Officer, did you know that Jesus is coming soon?" And the officer looked up and said, "What did you say, sir?" "I said, did you know that Jesus is coming soon?" And the officer said, "I heard about it, but I don't know when." And Elder Moody said, "Why don't you come up before you go home? And I'm going to tell you how you will meet him. If you are not ready, I'm going to help you get ready because he is coming very soon." And according to this story, after a few days, that security guard gave his heart to Jesus. Amen? He gave his heart to Jesus. And that was Elder Moody. Okay? I like to tell you that I'm using examples and illustrations not from the church, but from outside of the church. Another one that I would like to use as an example today is how we should prepare ourselves in order that we could share the good tidings of Jesus to other people. We may not know how to do it. Maybe your elders or other officers of the church know how to give Bible study. But if we are sincere in learning more about Jesus, we can share it. You heard about Admiral William MacGregor? He was a 36 years veteran of the Navy SEALs. Anybody here who is in the Navy? Oh, over there. You heard about Admiral William MacGregor? He was invited one time to be the graduation speaker of the people that have just finished, you know, the Navy SEAL training of 6 months. And there were also freshmen from the Navy who wanted to be a Navy SEAL. And let me tell you, the secret of this is he emphasized about the 6 months training to become a Navy SEAL. You have to climb the mountains. You have to dive even under the ship. You have to go for the training of combat. You have to walk, or rather miles, and not only a few miles, but sometimes a lot of miles in order to qualify you. But there was a secret that was placed there. In front of the headquarters where they go after the training that day, they hang, what do you think? A bell. It's a bell. And for those Navy people who are under training that cannot no more stand, you know, the hardship, the toughness of the training, they go there and ring the bell. And you know what that means? An officer is going to meet you, and he's going to ask you a question. So you are giving up the training? You are giving up the training. And of course, if you cannot really stand the tough training, you said, okay, yeah, I think this is the end of it. And he faced the people who just graduated from the Navy SEAL, and he said, how about you guys who finished the six-month tough training? Are you ready to rumble? And they say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you know what he said? If you want to change the world, do not ring the bell. And if you want to change the world, you have to give your very best in times of your dark days. And if you start something, you have to finish it. Brothers and sisters, it's just like a training in the Navy SEAL in the church. I want to tell you, in such a way that we are going to be well equipped in facing the great commission of Jesus Christ to make this Beaumont SDA Church to be an agency for soul winning. Amen? I'm going to give you a challenge later on, and I need Elder Marcus to come here later on because he's going to dedicate you in prayer. But I like to use again another figure. You heard about Justice Antonin Scalia of the Supreme Court? He died in February 2018. And there were a lot of judges, a lot of people from the Supreme Court who gave their testimonies, okay? They gave tributes. And there were two judges who said that Antonin Scalia is a man of God. And why? They said that when they go and visit with him in the morning, they see him kneeling down beside his office with a pile of problematic papers to be decided by them, you know, give recommendations. But before he opens up those cases, he has to read his Bible, they said. Pray, ask for guidance from the Lord, and you know what he declared? The core of America is what? The family. Family is where life begins, ends with that love that will never end. And you know what he said? If every home in the United States will adhere the guidance of Jesus Christ in the home, especially parents, he said, is starting their small children to know more about Jesus and continue to have that visitor in the home. I'm going to tell you, said Justice Antonin Scalia, that the United States of America will continue to be great as the greatest country in this world of darkness. Brothers and sisters, do we have Jesus in the home? That's the question here. Have you started our small babies, children, to know more about Jesus? I have a true story that I'm going to tell you before I close. Jimmy was found in one of the narrow streets of New York. It was winter during that time. And he was soaked with cold water. A kind passerby called 911. And they brought him to the hospital. They found out that he got a heart attack. But he can still talk quietly and softly. And after they replaced his soaked water with cold winter ice, they place him on bed where he's going to belong. And the nurse and the doctors came over there and examined him. And again, I say they found out that he had a stroke, a heart attack. And the charge nurse came and talked to him about relationship. He said, "Jimmy, do you have relatives around?" And he said, "No." "How about friends?" He said, "No." "Or any acquaintance you don't have so we could inform them that you are here in the hospital?" He said, "No." And after a few minutes, he tried to talk to the nurse. And the nurse noticed that he was talking. And Jimmy said in a very soft word, "Yes, I have a friend." "And who is that friend?" "His name is Jesus. And it was my mother who introduced me to Jesus when I was a growing boy. And here he is, my beloved, dying. But he wants to call Jesus." He said to the nurse, "Please help me talk to Jesus. I really need him." "How about you, my beloved friends? How about me? Did we ever talk to Jesus in times of need? Did we ever tell Jesus about our problems? Did we ever tell Jesus that we need to reconsecrate our life unto him? This is the time. You may not be dying just like Jimmy. You are strong. But it's just time for you and me to talk to Jesus anytime during the day." Now, before I call and give you some suggestions how to do soul winning, I'm going to sing a song. And I want you to meditate in it. And after that, I'm going to ask your head elder to come here and dedicate you to the Lord. This beautiful song, I was supposed to read it only, but I was suggested, my wife said, "Why don't you just sing it?" Okay? You like this song. It's one of the old gospel songs of evangelism. Are you ready for Jesus to come? I'd like you to meditate in this song, beautiful song. The theme of the Bible is Jesus, and how he died to save men. The plan of salvation assures us it's coming back again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look on his face? Can you look up and say, "Jesus, my..." Jesus to come. Don't cling to this world and its treasures. This air will pass away. Oh, give him your love without measure. His calling for you and me. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand on his place? Are you ready to look on his face? Can you look up and say, this is my God? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready for Jesus to come? May I see those hands, that by God's grace you'll be ready to meet Jesus when he comes. May I see those faith? Praise the Lord. And do you want this church to be a unique church for soul winning? I want to raise your hand if you mean it. Okay, I'll make the suggestion now. You know what we are doing in the East Coast? The churches there have a program. How many families do you have here, approximately? Elder Marcus, how many families? Will you please come around here, Elder Marcus? Approximately, how many families do you have here in this church? 35, okay. Every family should adopt a friend, amen? You should adopt a friend. It's either a relative, a friend, or a neighbor, or anybody that you could concentrate and tell him about the goodness of being a Christian waiting for the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what's going to happen? If you adopt a friend, 35 families are going to be 35 baptisms. You might not believe this, and this happened, okay? 35 every other month. And when I come back, all of these pews are going to be filled up. Amen? Adopt a friend. What did I say? You have to pledge that. And you raise your hand. And I'm going to challenge you. And before I end this short sermon, I want Elder Marcus to come here and dedicate you. And ask the Lord to strengthen you and to give you more determination so that this church is going to be a unique church in Texas Conference. And by the way, before I forget, I used to be a chaplain 2007 to 2008 of the whole Texas Conference. I was the chaplain. And we have been visiting churches, and I have emphasized about soul winning. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to reach your place because it's only limited. It's only 2 years. But at this moment, I want Elder Marcus to pray for you that what you have pledged to the Lord, just like Elder Moody, is going to be realized because time is the essence. We don't know when Jesus would come.